was freedom from sin. We as citizens of heaven have this honor of being forgiven of our sins. The second thing tonight, we'll concentrate on this, is the freedom to serve. The freedom to serve the Lord. Now, thank God that many of you in this room took the, either you were drafted or you joined one of the armed forces, and you served your country willingly, voluntarily. That's part of the meaning. I'm going to give you the definition of serve and service here in a moment. That's one of the meanings for that. But again, just on a little historical note, let me just bring this to you, and then we'll get into the message. On July 4th, 1776, a group of Americans approved a document declaring the United States of America free from English rule. This document was the Declaration of Independence, and today we celebrate the 245th birthday of this courageous action. Thomas Jefferson, the primary author of the Declaration of Independence, outlined its purpose, and I quote him here. When forced, therefore, to resort to arms for redress, an appeal to the tribunal of the world was deemed proper for our justification. This was the object of the Declaration of Independence, neither aiming at originality or principle or sentiment, nor yet copied from any particular or previous writing. It was intended to be an expression of the American mind. John Adams informed his wife of the events preceding the passage of the Declaration and stated this, and I quote him, "I am well aware of the toil and blood and treasure that it will cost us to maintain this Declaration and support and defend these states. Yet, through all the gloom, I can see the rays of ravishing light and glory. I can see that the end is more than worth all the means, and that posterity will triumph in that day's transaction." We have a choice in our own personal life to serve God or not to serve God. We all make that choice every day of our life. And every one of us will serve someone or something. We do that every day. You're going to serve someone or something. You say, well, I can't think of anybody out there that I would serve. Then you're probably serving yourself, because we do that very well also. We serve ourselves, we serve somebody, or we serve something. Webster says this about service, and I'll give you the exact quote from him, from the 1828 Webster's Dictionary. It says, "In a general sense, labor of body or of body and mind performed at the command of a superior or the pursuance of duty, or for the benefit of another. Service is voluntary or involuntary. Voluntary service is that of hired servants or of contract or of persons who spontaneously perform something for another's benefit. Involuntary service is that of slaves who work by compulsion." The definition of serve is this: to work for, to bestow the labor of body and mind in the employment of another. Jacob loved Rachel and said, "I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy youngest daughter." Genesis 29, Webster says. And then he also says this. He quotes from Matthew chapter 6. Take a look at this. Matthew chapter 6 in verse 24. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Webster quotes these words when it says in Matthew 6:24, "No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." What is mammon? Mammon is money or possessions. That's what mammon is. You can't serve God and you can't serve this world. You can't serve God, you can't serve the money. You can't serve God, you can't serve also your possessions, the material things that you have. You can't serve them both. It's going to be one or the other. Luke 16:13, look at that, says the same basic thing. We'll look at how Luke pens these words. Luke 16:13. "No No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. I like what Luke said when he said, no servant can serve two masters. Over to the book of Psalms, again, Psalm 100. I want to give you five things. Some people think that serving God is a horrific or horrendous task that only a few people can do. Some people, I believe, have a false impression as to what it means to serve God. I found five passages in the Bible that explains to us what serving is. And when I go through these five different passages of these, the verses that I have found about service, I believe that you will see and understand and believe that all of us as a Christian can serve God. It's not just the pastor that's serving God. It's not just a Sunday school teacher or nursery workers or certain people, school teachers or whatever. Those aren't just the servants of God. Any Christian can serve God if he or she wants to serve God. Now, if you don't want to serve God, you don't have to serve God. You know that, right? Because really, as a human being that makes choices, you don't have to do anything. You really don't. I get to serve God. It is a privilege and an honor for me to serve the Lord. What about you? It's a privilege, ladies and gentlemen, and an honor to serve the Lord. Why is that? Well, He served us. He gave to us. What do we give back to Him? Anything? We should be giving back our time, our talents, and our treasures. We should be doing that on a regular basis. But there are Christians today that just, they don't understand what real serving God means or the real meaning behind this service. Remember what I said in the definition, it's either voluntary or involuntary. Now, the good thing about God is, isn't God great? He doesn't make you do anything. He really doesn't, does he? He doesn't force you to do things. He doesn't force you to love him. He wants you to love him. He doesn't force you to get saved. He doesn't force anybody to get saved. He wants you to want to be saved. You don't want to be saved. You want to die and go to hell. Then it's your choice. You'll never be able to blame God for that. You'll never say, God, I didn't know. Yes, you'll never be able to shake your finger at God. You'll never be able to shake your fist at God and say, God, I didn't know. I really believe that God is a God of grace. And if there is somebody out there that dies and has no clue, God, in His infinite grace, He knows what to do. Amen. He knows what to do. He'll handle it justly. And that person in eternity, whatever God decides to do, that will be just for what God does. Amen. But remember that serving is voluntary. Primarily, it's voluntary for us Christians. We volunteer for the Lord's service. God has an army, and we are voluntarily serving in that army. Some people say, oh, God has drafted me into His army. No, God didn't draft you into His army. He's here. He gives us His word. He wants you to join voluntarily. It's a volunteer army. If you don't want to join His army, I guess you can sit on the sidelines and do absolutely nothing, watch everybody else serve the Lord. I don't know, but it's just one of those things where serving God is a privilege and an honor. It's not something that, I got to serve the Lord today. Why do some Christians have that attitude? Oh, I got to go to church. Oh, if I don't go to church, I'm going to feel guilty. Oh, I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to give. And I got to, I got to do all this stuff. Oh, I got to read my Bible. Oh, I got to pray. Why do we have that kind of an attitude when it's so voluntary? I wonder what the attitude of Jesus was when he knew that he had to come to this earth, leave heaven, leave the glories of heaven, and come and suffer like no man has ever suffered before, and die for us. He didn't have to do it. He didn't deserve it. He didn't break any laws. He didn't hurt anybody. He didn't do anything wrong. He voluntarily came to this earth and served you and me. Why is it so hard for us to voluntarily serve Him back? Psalm 100, I'm going to give you these five things about serving God tonight. And it's going to be a little different take on this. This is something I've just noticed, and I'm hoping this will be a blessing to you. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Let's say that together. Serve the Lord with gladness. We talked a little bit this morning about gladness, happiness. There's that bad word again. We can be happy. Yeah, we can be happy. We can be glad. Yes, we can be glad. The Bible says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with what?
Singing.
Here's what I think that serving God is. Serving God is singing. Serving is singing. Is that complicated? No. Really. Serving God, the Bible says in verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. And then it says, come before His presence with singing. So in the same verse, in the context there, we see that serving God is serving God with gladness, but coming to His presence or coming before His presence with singing. When you're cheerful and glad, you'll sing. When you're doom and gloom, you won't. Amen. Amen. So, serving is singing. So when you sing, anytime you sing, now, let's define the singing. What kind of singing is it? Well, it's not the world's music. It's not Christian rock. I despise that stuff. If it's rock, it's not Christian. If it's Christian, it's not rock. Get that out of your brain. When Christians talk about, oh, I just love this band, I love this group. A lot of that is just, it feeds to the flesh, it does not feed to the spirit. Even though some people say, no, it really feeds my spirit. Well, then you don't need the beats and the drums and all of the stuff that's going on, the pyrotechnics that's flying out, and these weird looking guys that come on the stage, these Christian, some of these guys, you know, the hair sticking out all over the place. And the way they look, they don't look like Christians. They don't act like Christians. They look like the world. They look like Kiss or some of these other bands that are out there. And I'm not into all of these bands, so I can't even name these. I go way back to the Monkees, the Beatles. Okay? That's where I'm from, that generation, you know. The what? Oh, Beethoven, yeah, I go back to Beethoven, Mozart, yeah. I would prefer them over some of these others. But I'm not quite that old. I don't go back that far, even though I do like Beethoven and I do like Mozart and I do like some good classical music. But some of these supposed Christian artists today, they just don't look like a Christian. They'll throw Jesus in there once in a while and, oh, makes them a Christian. Well, Willie Nelson can sing a nice Amazing Grace, but it doesn't make him a Christian. He'd rather smoke his dope than, you know, well, I won't. But most of the country and Western singers, that's what they'll throw in a hymn once in a while at the end of their show, and they must be saved. Well, I don't know. Maybe they are, and I hope and pray they do. But just because you throw in Jesus here or there, or you throw in a song from our hymn book, doesn't make you a Christian. Just like parking your garage doesn't make your car all of a sudden fixed. Or taking your car to a garage makes your car fixed. The mechanic's got to work on that and do some work. So we see here, but when I read that verse, I thought, you know, serving is not something complicated. Why do we complicate things so much from the Bible? If you're asked, well, what does it mean to serve the Lord? Well, verse 2 says serving is singing. So when you sing, you're serving the Lord. Did you all sing the hymns tonight? Huh? If you sang the hymns tonight, you were serving the Lord. You didn't have to get up and preach the sermon. You're serving by singing. Let's look at another one. Go over to John chapter 12. John 12. I'm going to try to make this easy for you. I'm not trying to make Christianity easy, don't get me wrong. But I'm trying to show you what the Bible says about service, what serving is. And again, God gives us the ability, the freedom that we have today to serve the Lord. It's a freedom. Just like we live in America, we have a lot of freedoms here in this country. Thank God for that. I praise the Lord for the freedoms that we have. Nobody has come in and tried to shut us down here yet. Nobody's contacted me and says, hey, you can't preach anymore. Nobody has come along and said, you can't carry your Bible to church anymore. Nobody has set up roadblocks and kept you from coming to church, right? Amen. Did any of you go through a roadblock tonight? Did any of you have to show any special papers to come to church tonight? Of course not. We're still living in a free land. John 12 and verse 26. Look what Jesus said. If any man serve me, let him what? Follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Do you know what else serving is? It's following. Simply following the Lord. Following God. Question tonight. Are you following the Lord? Come on, think. Think about it. Get your little brains going here. Get your heart going. Are you following the Lord? Do you follow Him most of the time? Come on, do you follow Him most? Do you follow the Lord? Now, I'm not talking about the literal, okay, oh, where did He go? I've got to follow Him. I mean, yes, that's a lot of it was there with the Lord. He tell His, when He was calling His apostles, you know, come, follow me. And they did. They dropped what they were doing and they went and followed the Lord. But were they always 100% perfect? These guys? No? No? Did Peter make some mistakes? Did James and John? Sons of thunder, want to destroy everybody that wasn't on the Lord's team? Of course. I think they would have made a great football team, those guys. They were competitive and they wanted to wipe out anybody that wasn't serving God, following the Lord. But they weren't always right. And yet Jesus just simply said, if any man serve me, let him follow me. So we need to follow the Lord. We need to follow the Lord in His instructions. We need to follow the Lord in the Word of God. He tells us many things in the Bible as to what we should be doing and we ought to be doing. And so simply serving is following God. If you're following the Lord, you are serving the Lord. Let me encourage you tonight to just keep following God, following the Lord. What is He directing you to do in life? Do you have any direction from God? Is he nudging you here or there? Is He giving you some direction from the Word? Is He giving you some wisdom when you ask it? Do you ever just say, Lord, I'm lacking wisdom, as He tells us in James 1. Lord, give me some direction here. Give me some wisdom in this decision. When He gives you that wisdom, you are following the Lord. And you know what you're doing? What are you doing? You're serving Him. You're serving Him. Is that really that complicated? No, let's not make it complicated here. Let's try to make it simple. If Jesus said, if any man serve me, let him follow me. So just keep following the Lord. No, you're not perfect. You won't be until you get to heaven. You're going to make some mistakes? You're going to fumble the ball along the way? Yeah, you are. What are we tonight? We're a bunch of failures? Sometimes frauds? Come on. Yeah. We make mistakes. We don't always say the right thing. We don't always think the right thing. We don't always do the right thing. Has God kicked you out of His family yet? Will He ever? No. Why? Because He loves you, and He's hoping that you'll just keep following Him. Just keep following. When you fall down, you get back up again. When you fail, you say, Lord, I'm sorry, I just failed. I know you did. And you ask for forgiveness, and you carry on. You just keep on going. Don't get so down and depressed and discouraged because you made one mistake in life. That'd be great if we only made one mistake. But we're going to continue to make mistakes through life. What do we do with mistakes? Hopefully learn not to do that again. Ooh, I won't do that again. Lord says, good, I'm glad. I hope you don't again. But serving is, number one, singing. Serving, number two, is simply following. Romans chapter 1, verse 9. Romans 1, 9. Romans 1, 9. I have two verses on this next one. Romans 1, 9, the Bible says, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." Do you pray? Do you pray?
Amen.
How much do you pray?
All the time.
Some people pray without ceasing. Some people seem to be in an attitude of prayer all the time. I think there are people that pray more than others. But do you pray? That's the thing. Do you pray? Is there prayer? Do you have prayer time in your life? Some people can pray for hours a day. Praise God if you have the time to do that. If nobody's around to bother you, if you have that time, thank God for that. If you can do that. Some people can't do that, or some people just don't take the time to do that. But here's the third thing. If you're keeping track of these, number one, serving is singing, serving is following, serving is simply praying. So if you're praying, you're serving God. That's what Paul said in Romans 1:9. He said, "Whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." I've said this before. I wonder what Paul's prayer list looked like. He said that in most of his letters that he wrote, he's praying for everybody in these churches. Paul, when did you have time just to walk down the road? Well, when I was walking down the road, I was praying. When I was in the synagogue before I got up and preached and spoke, I was praying. I think Paul he practiced what he wrote. And when he said, "Pray without ceasing," I think Paul was a great prayer warrior. Probably most of us won't match up or meet up to the prayer life of Paul or some of these other ones. And you know what? I don't think that we should have to think about that and worry about, "Oh, I just got to be like Paul. No, you be you. Be you. Who are you? Do you know who you are tonight? Well, be you. You know, you're not the Apostle Paul. You're not Jesus Christ. We are to emulate and we are to follow and we are to do and we are to use these individuals as great examples. But if you are praying, you are serving God. So keep praying. Pray as much as you can. Pray all the time. Driving down the road, you pray. Walk down the road, you pray. You're doing housework, you're working on a project, you're in the garage, you're building something, you pray. So many times Lord, you gotta help me with this one, right? I mean, you got a problem, you got something that's broke, you gotta fix something, Lord, just please help me. We have an issue with our RV that we put the leveler, we got this fancy, you push a button and it automatically levels the whole thing. It's wonderful. But when you go to retract it, sometimes it doesn't work. And if you don't retract the levelers, you ain't going nowhere. You're going to sit right there, leveled nice, yes, but you're not going to be able to drive it home or go anywhere else. And so a couple times Troy has helped me a few times. He figures things like that. Oh, push this button, push that button, and all of a sudden they're coming. Well, on this last trip last week, Lord, you got to make these things work, because I don't have Troy with me, number one, and I can't go and get him and bring him up here. And so, Lord, I just want to push the button where it says retract, and I want them all to come up. Well, Friday morning, guess what? I'm bringing everything in, cleaning up everything. And I said, "Lord, please. Please have this thing work." And I pushed the retract button and they all came up perfectly. They hadn't done that in a while. Now, I don't know what's wrong with it, and you can tell me after the service all the things I'm doing wrong. You're supposed to push one button and they go down, and you're supposed to push another button and they go up. That's all I know. See, I'm a little, when it comes to things like that, I'm void of all of the, how does that work? I've been under there, I've taken them apart, I've looked at them, I've said, they all have fluid in them, and so it's like, all I know is I'm supposed to push the button and it's supposed to work. It's like when I get in my car, I turn the key and it's supposed to start. Then I put it in drive and it's supposed to go forward. If I want to go in reverse, I put it in R for reverse, right? If I want to go fast, I push on the gas. If I want to stop, there's another pedal next to the gas pedal. You hit the brake. That's pretty much, you know, the extent of it. I know how to turn the radio on, the air conditioner. I know all of that other stuff. But that's the I know how to push buttons and pull levers. And I know how to steer the wheel. But what makes the whole thing work under the hood? I mean, these guys, you know, Earl and Jim, some of these guys, they know, oh, yeah, they can explain all of that stuff to you. And you just sit there. Okay, very, very good. I just want to push a button, and I want it to work. It's when I make coffee. I want to put the little thing in there, and I want coffee. I want within one minute, I want my coffee hot and ready and fresh. When it doesn't work, I get, you know, oh, no, it's not working. What's wrong with it? And so, but we have to pray. God honors your prayer. And again, if you're praying, you're serving. Look at 2 Timothy 1:3. This goes along with this one. 2 Timothy 1:3. And I'm sure that we could find a bunch more here. I just found five of these as I was preparing this tonight. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3, this is what Paul said. Now, remember, he's writing to a different person here. He was writing to the Romans over there when he prayed for them all the time. Now he's writing to Timothy, and he says, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. So what was Paul doing? He's praying, but he's serving God at the same time. When you pray, you serve the Lord. So are you praying? Are you praying? Then you're serving God. If you're praying, you're serving the Lord. There's nowhere in the Bible that I know of that tells us how long we have to pray every day. You must pray 1 hour every day. Where is that written? I don't know where that is. You must pray 5 hours every day. I don't know where that is. You must pray 10 minutes every day. I don't know where that is either. All I know is the Bible teaches us that we are to pray without ceasing. We are to pray as often as we can and as we need to. Amen? That's what we do. We pray. Some people, and everybody has their own, if you've been saved any amount of time, you have your own prayer habits. You have your own prayer habits. My prayer habits are not yours. Yours are not mine. I have a certain prayer habit that I pray, people that I pray for, and I don't time myself. I don't look at the clock and say, okay, I'm going to pray for 1 hour here. And I look at the clock and I time it because I'm going to be like doing this, looking at the clock. I don't do that. I pray for the people that I'm praying for and the missionaries. And when I'm done, I say amen. Amen. And I don't look at the clock. Right. That is not a big deal for me that I've got to get, you know, 30 minutes, 1 hour, 2 hours in prayer. Now, some people would, but no, God didn't tell you how long you have to pray. The quality of your prayer is more important than the quantity or the length of your prayer. I did a study. I don't know where it went. It's in here, in one of these little pieces of paper I have floating all over my Bible. But I did a study on the length of people's prayers in the Bible. Some are long. Solomon had a long prayer, one of the longest in the Bible. Nehemiah prayed. Jesus prayed. But the prayers that are recorded in the Bible, many of them are short prayers. They're not long, hourly, you know, 2 hours, 3 hours. They're short prayers. They're few words. The sinner's prayer in Luke chapter 18 is seven words. Seven words. There are many prayers that are real, real short. Peter, he's sinking in the water, two words, Lord, three words, Lord, save me. Peter didn't have time to get into a long prayer dissertation. He would have drowned if he's, Lord, please, oh, God bless you. What a blah, 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 as he's going under. I'd just be bubbles coming up, you know, a little, blah, 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 amen, blah, blah, you know. No, it's sometimes it's like, Lord, help me, right? You ever say that? Lord, help me. Driving a school bus one time, and in front of me, coming at me, is this tanker truck full of gas, and it's swerving all over the road in the wintertime, headed towards the big yellow school bus. Lord, help me. That's what I said. And the thing straightened right up and went right by me. I said, thank you, Lord. Did I want to get hit with a tanker truck? No. Driving a bunch of kids to school? No. But sometimes it's that quick. Lord, help me. It's that Nehemiah prayer sometimes, you know. But if you're praying, let me move on to the next one. But if you're praying, you're what? You're serving. If you're singing, you're serving. If you're following, you're serving. If you're praying, you're serving. How about this one? 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9 and 10. You'll like this one too. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 9 and 10. Do you believe Jesus is coming back? Isn't that a good thing? Looking forward to that. Looking forward to the rapture. If I make it that long, if the Lord decides to come back in my lifetime, he may not. That's not something that I'm, like I said this morning, I'm in a win-win situation. I'm going to heaven one way or the other. And that really doesn't bother me. However the Lord chooses to take me, that's fine. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, it says, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Now, there's not a period after that. It goes on, so we got to read the whole context. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. I wrote this down. You can agree or disagree, but I think serving is just waiting for the return of Christ. So if you're waiting for Jesus Christ to come back, you're serving the Lord. Paul, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he again alludes to this in his closing remarks before he was martyred, we believe, as he was writing to Timothy, this last letter of his. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered, the time of my departure is at hand. He knew that his time was short. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So are you looking for the Lord to come back someday? Is he coming back in my lifetime, in your lifetime? Don't know. Have no clue. Don't know. We look at what's going on around us and we immediately say, ah, the Lord must be coming back soon. And we believe that. But so did Paul and John and Peter and Jude. They all believed Jesus was coming back in their time. That's 2,000 years ago. Think we got another 2,000 years on the planet? How do you know? How do you know? You don't really know. Do you know that the Lord's... Are you sure that the Lord's coming back within the next 50 years? No, you can't. You cannot date these things. You cannot say, I know the Lord's coming back in my lifetime. I hope he is. I want him to come back in my lifetime. I think probably every Christian from Jesus to now has wanted that. But it's not always worked out for every Christian. I know your father wanted Jesus to come back in his lifetime. It didn't work out for Mr. Purdy. And probably many more. I know my father and my mother, they were both looking for the Lord to come back in their lifetime. It didn't work out for them. But where are they today? Heaven. That's where they are. But if you're serving, I mean, if you're waiting for the Lord, you're serving the Lord. Now, isn't that simple, really? No? Okay, I'm just trying to help you here tonight. If you're waiting for the Lord to come back, you're serving God. That's what Paul said. One more and then we're done. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Hebrews 12, 28. Wherefore, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Now, listen to this. As Paul, I believe, was the writer of Hebrews, as he was writing this, he said, let us, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. reverence, and godly fear. I believe that serving is reverencing God with godly fear. Reverencing God with godly fear. Do you reverence God? Huh? Come on. Do you reverence God? Now, we're not perfect here, but do you reverence God? Do you realize that He is your Father? He is God Almighty. He's Creator. He's Sustainer of life. He is your, He loves you. Do you understand and do you reverence God Almighty? Do you respect God? Do you have a healthy fear of God? If you do, you're serving God. That's not difficult. That's simple, really. If, again, you're showing reverence to God, do you reverence the name of God? Do you respect the name of God? Now, if you're going around using God's name in vain constantly, you're not reverencing God. And you're not serving God effectively and properly. God forbid that Christians should not reverence the name of God. God forbid that any Christian ever, 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 ever take the Lord's name in vain. Even by saying things like, oh my God. Or using your little OMG when you text or send an email. Don't do that. You're not reverencing the name of God. Now, I know that's biblical. I have found references or verses where it says, oh my God, but the psalm writer was really crying out to God. Now, if you're crying out to God with reverence and godly fear, that's different. You can do that, but you've got to do it in a reverencing effect, not to the point where you're just, oh my God, you know, something's going on in your life. I know people do that, and sometimes they do that without even thinking. Or a lot of times people just flippantly use God's name. Maybe not in a curse form, you know, but they just, oh God, you know, things like that. You just got to be careful how you use God's name. I'm going to read that verse again because I think it's important. Wherefore, we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Serving is respecting and reverencing God Almighty, Jesus Christ included, and the Holy Spirit, all of them, and fearing God. So serving is singing. Serving is following. Serving is praying. Serving is waiting for Jesus Christ to come back. And serving is reverencing and respecting God with the fear that you're supposed to. I'm glad I'm an American. I'm glad I'm an American by birth. But I'm a citizen of heaven by the new birth. Amen. By being born again allows me to be a citizen of heaven. Amen. Are you a citizen of heaven tonight? Far more important than being a citizen of the United States of America. Glad I am. Glad I was born here. Glad I'm a citizen. You apply for something. You're filling out government paperwork. They say, are you a citizen of the United States? It always makes me feel good to say yes. Check the yes box. I am. But I'm glad I'm a citizen of heaven by a different birth. Spiritual birth has allowed me to be a citizen of heaven. So folks, as we serve God tonight, let's serve God and honor Him and serve Him with some godly fear. And let's realize that serving God is something that we can all do, every one of us, not just a preacher. Don't think that I'm the only one here in the room that can serve God. Because if you're doing just five of these things, if you're praying and singing and you're waiting for Jesus Christ to come back and you're following Him the best that you can, because again, you don't see Him, you're not following physically, you're following Him spiritually, then you're serving God. And allow God to work in your heart and soul and allow the Holy Spirit to direct you and guide you. And let's all try to be the best servants we can. It's all the Lord expects us to be anyway, or do, is just do the best you can. Just be faithful. It's the only thing that He requires of us, is to be faithful. That's it. That's the requirement. What's the requirements for being a Christian? Well, you got to get saved and then just be faithful. How faithful are you? How faithful are you to the house of God? How faithful are you to the Word of God? How faithful are you to prayer? How faithful are you to the things that God expects you to do? And just how faithful are you? Father, thank you again for the blessings. Thank you tonight, Lord, again, that we are citizens of America. Lord, thank you for that.